quarter century ago, our two heroes were locked away in the asylum, exposed to decades of old comic books and pop culture magazines. Eventually, they broke free and are running the asylum. Now, they control what you hear. Welcome to Heroes Asylum.
Welcome, everybody, to Heroes Asylum, the weekly podcast that covers everything from comic books, fantasy, and sci-fi. Everything you wanted to know, but you didn't know yet. I am your host, Captain Mike, and our co-host, Thanatos Kane, is right here with me. Unfortunately, I don't have a catchy saying for him today, but you know what? It's a new show, a new start for everything here. So, how are you doing today?
Oh, Captain, my Captain, how are you doing today, sir?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. Had a good weekend. Actually, you and I both popped by good old Acme today, this weekend. So, you know, we were able to check up and see what they had and what they were doing.
Yes, we did. $40, not down the drain, but goes to a good worthy cause, as you know. I missed a couple. When you miss, you know, a week at Acme, you always have to make up for it. So that's kind of like what I did. You know,
I spent 20. That's where you and I differ in that I enjoy my digital comics. I still pay the price, but I get them right on my tablet, and I'm good to go. I don't have to worry about running to the store, but the store is fun to go to. So I still make that weekly trip, even though I'm not purchasing anything. I still have to make my weekly trip to the store. There's still something about that just...
Oh, it's like moment. Nostalgia, man. You go there weekly. It still reminds me of going to, when you're a kid and just going to the comic book store looking for your favorite runs.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, looking for certain issues, a back issue here, a new issue there. And I still get that same feeling when I go there every single time and look at action figures that are way overpriced, by the way.
Yeah, they are.
Way overpriced. Definitely. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm used to, like, you know, G.I. Joes for $9.99. Actually, no, they're cheaper. Weren't they $6.99?
Yeah, they actually, the individual unboxed ones.
I'm talking about the smaller ones. Remember, like, back in the day when we were kids, like,
yeah,
we would go to Toys R Us. It was like, I think they were $6.99 because they were like the 4-inch figures.
Yeah, you know, yeah, no, yeah, they have a bunch of them there. They're out of the box, unwrapped, you know, but they're in like little tiny baggies. So yeah, they definitely carry those. Those are still reasonably priced, I think, for those.
Some of them are, yes.
But we want to thank everybody for downloading, subscribing. Please, guys, make sure to do subscribe. We are now on Apple iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. If you guys are, you know, it would still like to use the Apple style, but use it through Android, there is TuneIn. We're also through Podbeam as well, and we are hopefully here in a couple of weeks. We'll be on Spotify, but you guys can find us just by going into the search engine, simply typing in Heroes Asylum, and we will show up there. If not, you can always find us on our website at heroesasylum.com, our Facebook page as well. So we are here. We're going to go ahead and just jump right into this week's events. So what do we have today, sir?
Captain, we're going to check into the admissions war today. The admissions ward is going to be our weekly section of the news of the week. All the little tidbits here and there in the world of comic and sci-fi. And the first thing we're going to break down is the Avengers trailer that dropped this week. The brand new Avengers trailer, which was a shock to me when it dropped. I don't know if it was a shock to you, Captain, but it literally came out of nowhere. And I got it in my feed, in my Facebook page. That was one of the first things I opened up in the morning. And I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh... Okay, so I guess we have a new Avengers trailer, and I was it was like 2 minutes and 10 seconds. Still didn't show a lot, but it showed enough.
I think that's where you and I differ. I think that there was a lot shown in that trailer. So much like little nuggets that you just have to look. Did you get a chance to rewatch it? I know you and I talked yesterday, and
I saw it afterwards, like when we talked about it. Okay. And you know, you see little things here and there. I mean, I've noticed like little things, but nothing like overwhelming to me. It's still relatively the same as the first one to me. That is,
yeah. My big thing is there's that question of time. You know, there's always been that the theory that's been running around is, you know, with Ant-Man, you know, jumping into the quantum realm, and they, you know, they drop that little nugget at the very end of Ant-Man and Wasp about, you know, be careful, don't go into the time pockets, it's tough to get you back. But as I was watching the trailer, I was seeing, you know, a Black Widow. If you watch her hair changes. One scene, she's got like shoulder, a little bit, you know, shorter than shoulder length, blonde hair. Then another, you know, scene later, she's there with long, long red hair. So another one there was like mid-length red hair with like little blonde highlights. So I'm looking. You're looking at like different times for her. So that makes me believe
they're definitely doing time travel.
There's, it's either time travel or it could just simply be just that they're expanding. You know, this movie just takes place over a lot of time. Mm. You know that it drops. You know that the pager went off for Captain Marvel, and she shows up, and so and then they have to build because you also have to think. You still have that time that Tony Stark and Nebula need to get back. Mm-hmm. So see, that's why I'm thinking there's...
I agree. I mean, in some points. But to me, I think there's been like 22 films in the Marvel Cinematic Universe so far, I think. 22 or 21. I'm not quite sure. I have to look up on that.
I think it's 22.
I think it's probably 22. But I'm thinking this is the end of a basic, you know, a season finale of everything they've built over the last 10 years. So I'm thinking they're going to go back in time to the first Avengers movie. I'm thinking they're going to do a lot of repeat beats like, hey, we've been here. We've been there. You know, we're going to touch on this. I have a feeling they might even go back to the first Captain America movie, you know, and like with all this time travel. It's almost like, you know, their greatest hits they're going to play here and there. Basically, with just Thanos probably maybe chasing them through time. I don't know.
Right.
I mean, I just got that feeling. I mean, just. It would make sense to me.
I can kind of see that, yeah. Like, but again, I think in my side of it is, I think it would be more not to do that. Don't. I've never been a big fan of those. I'm going back in time and changing everything because then you're causing paradoxes, and I've never liked those storylines. I've always felt that it was
a weak
cop out. Yeah, basically, yeah. And yeah, it's 21. If you count Endgames, it will be 22 for them. Somebody released a post on the new way of watching.
Watch all the movies in chronological order.
So they just released one. You know, with adding in Captain Marvel into the mix. So yeah, so it breaks it down to 21.
Where do they put Captain Marvel? I'm just curious.
Actually, number 2 because you figure, Captain America First Avenger, then hers because hers takes place in the 80s. Or 90s. Sorry, 90s.
Okay.
So, with that, I saw the differences with Black Widow. You know, again, like I said, Tony and Nebula were back. Captain Marvel seems like she's probably in the most of the movie if the chronological order goes, which is kind of cool. If you looked at, you know, Black Widow with her short hair, she was there. You know, Captain Marvel was there with him. Mm-hmm. So I wonder, you know, it looks like they might be keeping her there. And then there's just that one little. That one I think you and I talked about last night was the one with Clint and his kids.
Yeah, you know? That's pre-snap, I believe.
Yeah, pre-snap. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, man, that's got to be pre-snap because it's just there's just this warmth, to, you know, like the sun shining in the background and just of this warmth, you know, feel to it.
Any scene like that with any kind of warmth or touching moments, you know, something bad's gonna happen. Yeah, afterwards. Yeah, it's just a build. You know it right away that like. Like probably like right after that scene, literally, she's gonna be vaporized.
Yeah, you just start seeing the dust coming around,
and then he's gonna go insane, and he's gonna get himself a bad haircut, and then
don't knock the haircut, man. Don't knock that haircut.
Come on, man. He's got the Billy Ray Cyrus haircut going on right now.
That wasn't a mullet yet.
Yes, he does. He has like a Billy Ray Cyrus haircut. If you look at it, it almost looks like it. Not as long, but he's got the shot. Save.
Hey, it's Clint. Come on, he was never great looking, and like he never had the fashion sense of a superhero. When you really looked at his stuff, I mean, the purple. So I think it kind of falls into that realm with him.
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to play a huge role in this movie too.
Yeah,
I think he's going to play one of the major roles in this film.
Well, that's what I'm hoping. Yeah, I'm hoping there's going to be some changes because I mean, we do have a lot of characters that have always been there, you know, but haven't made big impacts. And those could be characters that could be picking up for the next phase. Because, you know, this is closing out, you know, one of the phases. So,
is this the ending of phase 3, I believe? Is it? Or is it phase
4? Yeah, I'm trying to remember. I know Captain Marvel was the mark for one of the phases. I couldn't remember if that was the beginning or the end, but...
Because I know Far From Home is the beginning of the next phase. And that's coming out in July.
That's something I'd have to check on because it's technically, Far From Home isn't Marvel. That's Sony picture.
Yeah, but it's still tied into the MCU.
It's not really, no. If you look, they Sony loans out Spider-Man to them. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, yes, the worlds are connected, but I don't believe it falls under the Marvel MCU, like, in their phase ideas. Mm. They're linked, but Sony runs it, and so I don't believe that they are linked that way.
That's so, something do you think this movie takes place pre-snap?
What, the Coming Home?
Far From Home.
Or Far From Home? Yeah. You know, it's post-snap, from everything that it hints at. But like I was saying, it's just I don't think that when you count the phases, I don't think Spider-Man was a big one because it was something that Sony was doing. Marvel and Disney didn't release it. It was Sony that releases it. So that's why I'm kind of iffy on.
I don't know, sure. But he's still tied into their universe.
He's still wondering. Yeah.
I'm just wondering whether, I mean, it would make sense for them to go at the beginning. I mean, Spidey's like one of the youngest Avengers right now. So if you want to start a new phase, start it with the youngest guy you got. I mean, well, he's going to be in. I think it's going to be him and Captain Marvel leading the future of the MCU. To be honest, I mean,
okay, again, he's not by their contracts. He's not owned by them.
Yeah,
you have to remember, I mean, he's on loan. Only Sony is loaning him out, so they can't really count on him. Sony can pull the plug and say, "Nope, we want Spider-Man now."
I don't think they're going to do that.
No, I'm just saying that. I know
what you're trying to say, but I don't think they're going
to
do that.
No, they would. I mean, it's smart for them to ride the coattails of Disney and, you know, and the MCU.
And plus, they're building their own universe with Venom. Which is crazy to believe that, you know, we're sitting here talking about a Venom movie that almost made $1 billion, but that's the world we live in now. So
yeah. Unfortunately, it's not my Venom. I did like the movie. It's not Venom to me. it was a good.
I dug it. The best part of the movie to me is the Brock and symbiote relationship.
Oh, that is.
That is the thing that sells the movie. The rest of the movie is kind of trashy and silly, but that relationship to me sells the whole movie.
Yeah, that was the only thing that to me that was Venom. That was, you know, from that. Somebody at work made a comment to me about. They're like, you know, they never read Venom and they love the movie and they feel like they are experiencing it better than somebody like me who has the memory and the baggage of the old Venom, of what Venom to us should be.
Yeah, but you got to remember one thing. You and I and like and several of the other geeks are in the minority. We know a lot about the characters. I mean, most of the people who saw that movie, you know, over $900 million actually that it made, you know, they're just getting introduced to that character for the first time.
Yeah.
So in that way, it was successful. For guys like you who know the character by, you know, the back of their hand, it's like, that's not the Venom that I'm used to reading.
Right.
You know, he's Eddie Brock. You know, the symbiote, Spider-Man is tied into it. And you're right. But, you know.
And that's what she was saying. She was saying, she's like, I feel bad for those people, for us, is how she was saying it. She's like, I feel bad for the comic book fans that are watching it and, like, we're not 100% happy that this isn't the, you know, our Venom or our Eddie. She's like, for me, who's never read it, you know, she's like, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a great movie and I can't, you know, I was like, and I kind of, when I watched it the second time, I tried to put myself in that mindset, try to take that baggage out, you know, I critiqued it the first watch. So the second watch, I was like, let me just enjoy the ride.
That's the way you have to do it. I mean, I've learned, you know, honestly, but, you know, you give me a couple, you know, instances where, you know, let's give an example, like the show Gotham. I was not a fan of Gotham, not for the longest time, until something that you said that kind of turned it around for me. And it makes all the sense in the world. When you told me, hey, just think of it, you know, DC has these multiverses out there. Just think of it as yet another part of a multiverse. And I was like, you know what? You're exactly right. I had never seen that show like that. And once I started watching that show for what it was instead of what it could be, I thoroughly enjoy it. I still enjoy it. It's kind of sucking that's going to end this season. But, you know, when you look at it through a different spectrum instead of what you're used to, you get enjoyment out of it. So.
Yeah, very true. Speaking of ending, moment of silence for Arrow.
Yes, sir.
Wow. I mean, it's coming up. But it, right now is what, season 7, and it'll be ending on a half season. And that's just crazy to just think where Arrow came from. You know, it was originally a spinoff, supposed to be a spinoff of Smallville, but the character, the actor that played Oliver Queen.
Justin Hartley.
He didn't want to do that. You know, he felt his character and what he had done in Smallville was good, and he thought if he carried it on and it would taint what he had done on Smallville, and he didn't want to do that. So then they had to, you know, restart the casting and everything, and look what they have done. I mean, they revitalized comic book TV series for us. You know, we had our once in a while ones, you know, through the 90s and the 80s, you know, some that just were okay, and some, you know, that went out that people didn't realize they were comic book TV shows. But they were there, you know, but this one revitalized it to where not only could DC come out with more, but then Marvel's like, hey, wait a second, we can do this too. And that's when they started, you know, the Netflix runs and everything like that. So, exactly. And I know you were a big one for Arrow. I was a latecomer to it.
One of the executive producers, I forgot his name. He was a big fan of Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight trilogy. And he even said it, and if you watch that first season, the first two seasons, it's very Nolan-esque.
Oh, yes.
It's very grounded, street-level villains. I mean, everything is plausible when the first two seasons of Arrow. I mean, I think the first two seasons of Arrow are just, you know, spectacular. And if you think about that, that led to the DC Universe being born on the CW.
Yeah, those exactly.
Two seasons, because season two was the intro of Barry Allen.
And wait, was that season two? Have they been
doing
that
long? Season two.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought he was a little bit later.
He was season two.
Was he really? No, because yeah. what season is there as a Flash on now?
Season five.
So, okay. So season three, probably. Yeah. Season two, season three kind of crossover. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. They were the world's finest on TV.
Yeah. That is. Yeah. I remember that one. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, when they did that, you know, brought in Flash, and then there, I mean, that one just took off. That had its own, you know, its own life. Yes, it's in the Arrowverse, but I thought Flash screamed more true to DC than Arrow did.
I agree, because they went more of the time travel multiverse. Once they introduced the multiverse, I was aboard.
Well, it wasn't the stories; it was the feel. I'm talking about the feel of it. You know, Arrow never quite felt DC to me, other than, you know, having that feel of like the Dark Knight, you know, the Nolan trilogy. But no, I mean, like the feel of the world, you know, when Flash came on, that just threw me in to think, but yeah, this is DC comic that I grew up reading, but that was in my head, you know, the guest spots they had on there for, you know, King Shark and Gorilla Grodd, and just how great. Oh, I mean, just.
But hey, you know what? I'm going to give you a little reminder of season one of Flash. I'll take you back a quick trip to memory lane. When I was talking to you about Flash, I don't think you had seen it yet. And we were talking about it. And the first thing I told you is like, you know, watch the season finale. You're going to get a kick out of it. There's something happens that you're going to geek out hard. And then about 10 minutes later, you saw it and you were like, oh my God. Oh my God, that's Jay Garrick's helmet.
I had to work that
and
night.
And I was like, I told you. And you would not stop talking about it incessantly.
Yeah, no,
a while.
Yeah, I had to work that night. You text me when I was at work. And I'm like, oh, okay, I'll see when I get home. And then, that's when I freaked out and I saw that hat.
You're right. That TV show is basically more true to the DC comics in the world. But I just love the whole time travel. I mean, did you ever think we would ever see the Reverse Flash on TV? No. And like you said, Grodd or Shark or any of those guys. It's just amazing what the CW did in building that. And Arrow basically started that.
Yeah, and Arrow was the anchor. He still remains the anchor, really, I think. I mean, Flash is great, but Arrow and Oliver Queen and that group, he's always remained the anchor. Because, I mean, you look at last two seasons, when he grew the what I kind of consider like the small Justice League, you know, with Mr. Mr. Fantastic and the not the Shroud,
they had Ragman on there.
Ragman, thank you. Yeah, thank you. That's what I was trying to go for. Yeah, Ragman. Yeah, and that went through me for a loop too. When I saw Ragman, I was like, really? Wow, they're bringing him. But yeah, he was always the anchor to it, and that's why I'm kind of curious. You know, it's going to fall to the Flash to be the anchor now, and it's a big step to you know, finally cancel it out. I mean, I understand. I saw his video of why he wants to, you know, why he wants to leave. He's done this, you know, 8 years now, you know. and it's time to move on. So I completely understand.
He wants
understand.
To go out of hideout. Yeah, I understand as well. I mean, he's a family guy now. I mean, he doesn't live in Vancouver. He wants to move on to his different stuff, and I totally understand that. But I'm just curious the way they're going to end it. I mean, you have Crisis coming up.
Well, Crisis right there is
Crisis is like it. I mean,
well, you figure
if there's any excuse to reset a TV universe like the comic book universe was, that's it right there for DC TV. I mean, they could literally say, "Hey, all this happened, and guess what? All these new shows are coming out," which, you know, they slowly but surely are integrating. Like Batwoman has a pilot coming out. Yep. I mean, Legends is probably going to end. I'm not sure Flash will be on after, you know, season 6. I mean, so there's a lot of possibilities, and you can introduce all these new characters and say, hey, how did this happen? Well, Crisis, the crossover, basically ended one universe, started a new one.
Yep. Yeah, that's the way I can see it going. I just hope they don't start killing off the other shows for that sake. I mean, drop Arrow, get Batwoman in, keep your number of shows going. Change, you know, Legends up a little bit. I mean, I like the fact that, you know, we've got Constantine on there. You know, I could see them building that more around Constantine more than around, you know, Rip, because he's gone now for the most part. Mm-hmm. You know, start building in like you've always said about the magical world, the magical side of DC.
Which I wish they would get into. The magical world of DC is one of my favorite things, and I've told you about that many, many, many times. And if they could just tap into that. You know, they have the right guy playing Constantine, too, as well. I mean, if anything, I don't think they're going to do this, but just a thought, a food for thought. I mean, you have Matt Ryan. He basically was on NBC Constantine, a show that got better to me as the seasons went along and was canceled way too early. What you could do, since you integrated him to the Arrowverse, and now that you have this DC streaming TV, you could throw Constantine in there as well. And you basically, Constantine is almost like the TV version of the Psycho Pirate. He's in every universe,
right?
And he could tie that thing all together. You don't have to recast even them if they want to go movies too. That you could just leave the same actor. I mean, just a food for thought. But I don't think they would do it. But the guy is Constantine. If you look at him, the walk, the swagger,
oh yeah, no,
the accent. I mean, I when I see him on TV, he is Constantine.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I don't think they do that, because I think they're ran, you know, DC streaming is ran by one group, and the CW is ran by probably more CW group than actually DC Warner Brothers.
But it's just an idea. I mean, I don't think they're going to do that, but, you know, Arrow coming to an end is almost like an end of an era.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
The beginning of a new era, so.
Yep.
And we're going to wish Stephen Amell the best, and let's see how his ending is going to be. Hopefully it'll be a tight, good knit 10 episodes of Arrow. And I think, to be honest, to end it on this note, I think he's going to be the one that's going to sacrifice himself in the crossover.
Oh, definitely.
I think that's got to be the way. He's going to go with the heroes and way out. And
it's the only way he can go away. I mean, yeah, any other way would be very weak, I think.
Agreed. Anyway, our next subject in the admissions ward is Grant Morrison and Ezra Miller are collaborating on a Flash movie script. Now, this is an interesting topic for both me and Mike, because we are on two polar sides of this. I believe that you need a script writer to actually write a script with a guy like Grant Morrison, who's an established comic book writer. And my fellow compatriot, Captain Mike, says,
I think you got to give these guys chances. We've seen what script writers can do. Give it a go to the people that... One, who lives and breathes this and does this for a living, you know, i.e. being Grant Morrison. And then giving it the second side of that is Ezra Miller, who is so dialed into wanting to do this character that it's literally to the point that if this script doesn't work, he walks away from the character. He is taking Flash the way Ben Affleck took Batman. He wholeheartedly believes in the character and that he's the right one to play it. And he wants to get something out there. And I think if you have not the experience, but you have two people with passion and knowledge, I think you might get a better script than what we've been getting out of Hollywood and scripts. Because
I'm with you on one point. Passion does help. All right. But the one difference between Ezra Miller and Ben Affleck is Ben Affleck is an Academy Award winning scriptwriter.
Yes.
And Ezra Miller is not. Ezra Miller is a really good actor.
We don't know what
he... We don't know what he could do with script writing. I mean, like I told you before, Why can't he write something smaller to begin his script writing career? Something like very tame.
Why not?
Like Grant Morrison and get somebody else in that room. I mean, if he wants to offer his ideas and his opinions, that's well and fine and dandy. But I want to trust somebody who's actually written a script as opposed to somebody who has never written a script in his life.
But why? I mean, we've seen script writers butcher things. People that are, you know, their title are script writers, and they tank and they write the worst tripe we've seen. Why not give it to somebody that could possibly have a better chance with another co-writer?
He's never written a script.
So
he's never written anything.
You've never hosted a podcast, and here we are.
That's different.
No, it's not.
Our podcast is not doesn't have 100 million views or 100 million listeners yet. You know, if he's going to write a script, that movie's going to cost between $100 and $150 million.
And that's a big thing. But let him write that script. What's it hurting to let him write a script? What's it going to hurt, other than the fact that he writes a script with Grant Morrison and it doesn't do anything? And guess what? He's no longer going to be part of Flash, and it moves on. WB's not going to wipe Flash away. They've got plans for him. But if he writes this script with Grant Morrison, again, somebody who knows the source material probably better than anybody alive right now, and have Ezra do it to go, hey, I'm an actor. I know what I can do. I know how to do what you're writing, and let's tweak it this way or tweak it that way. But again, he's got the same passion about it, and they could end up having an amazing script.
I think he's more about character portrayal of Barry Allen. Like, I think he's done the best Barry Allen to me to date. I mean, I like his Barry Allen. I do. I like his passion. I like what he's done. I mean, I think he was one of the better parts of the Justice League movie, which I do like, contrary to belief to some people. It's a good movie. I think it's a little uneven, and I think it's way too short. I think a lot of shit was cut on the editing room floor.
Oh, yeah,
that movie, like, chopped up to death. I mean, you and I, when we saw that movie, we both agreed. I was like, well, the Justice League themselves were great. The movie, not so much.
Yeah, but that's what happens when you get movies that they change directors halfway through. That's no fault of one director or the other director. It's a fault of the company that's in charge of this. That's really where it falls to.
Agreed. I mean, but like I said, getting back to the script issue, I want somebody in there. Like, if Ezra's going to write let's say an outline of the Flash movie, like, I want this, you know, I want, you know, in the first act, I'm going to come out of a time hole. You know, I'm fighting Reverse Flash. If he's going to give his ideas, that's fine, and give it to a guy who's actually written a script before, then I'm cool with that. But I don't want him actually in the room writing a script. Get Grant Morrison, get somebody else, get a guy like Chris Terrio or any other script writer out there who can offer it. But if he, like I said before, if he offers his ideas, fine and dandy. But I don't want him writing the script because he's never written one before. I mean, if he's doing a small film at first, then he's going to do a Flash, then I'm cool with that. But he's never written a script before. So
it's just so that I don't just – that surprises me coming out of your mouth. Give somebody a chance to do it.
Yeah, but I'm going to give you – like, look.
You're not wanting to give him the chance.
I want to give him a chance.
What if he does this and it becomes the best thing that has ever come out of WB?
Then I'm going to be eating crow for a long time. Okay. All right,
folks.
If he can,
everybody hears that right now. Okay.
If he can prove me wrong and write a script that is like one of the greatest comic book movies of all time, I will eat crow. Literally, I will eat crow. I know Mike wants to hear that. He wants me to hear him say that he's right. I'm not on this one. But
well, I'm not saying he's going to. I'm saying give him the chance to. That's all I'm saying. I don't know if he will or not.
I'm saying he's never written a script.
Again, it's just because somebody's never done something doesn't mean they can't do it. You have to give them the chance.
No, you're right. But you have to start. Like, look, if you're a baseball player, all right, and you're hitting home runs left to right in high school, are you going to go all the way into the major leagues automatically and hit 45 home runs? No.
No, but you got to give it a chance. That's what I'm saying. Just give
I'm
the
just
kid
saying
a,
he
give
needs
the kid
to go
a chance.
To minor leagues and learn. Well, we differ on that.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Just give the kid a chance. He's got somebody there that's with him. It's not like he's doing it solo. You keep saying he. It's him and Grant. And again, you got to give Grant probably the mentoring role at this point. So that's why I think if you have somebody in there with passion, that loves the characters and loves what the storylines could be, that's where I think you might find something better than just your standard scriptwriter.
Why not Kevin Smith then? He's a fan.
Well, Kevin's already always said and has said he would never do those. He wants no part of any of these big movies.
It's too bad because he's a fan almost like Ezra.
Well, no, he is. He, even more. But he says it like coming from us. I've heard him say it many times. He's like, I love these stories. I want to be there to watch it. I don't want to be there to watch it get made. He's said that several times.
Speaking of movies getting made, James Gunn is returning to do Guardians of the Galaxy Part 3 as well.
You want to talk about eating crow. How's that taste, Disney?
I'll tell you what, the big winner in all this is James Gunn.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
If you really think about it now, I mean, after all that's happened, James Gunn is literally the Psycho Pirate now.
Oh, yeah.
He's in both universes.
Well, it's not only that. It's not only that he's won. It's not a professional win. It is a professional win. It's more of a personal win. That in the response that every single one of us had out there, I didn't see but maybe a handful of ones that agreed with what Disney did. Everybody else out there on Twitter and on Instagram all made the same comments. Yes, he was young. It was a decade ago. He made a bad joke. Guess what? We all make bad jokes. We're not all comedians. We all think something's funny when we say it. Comes off the wrong way. We apologize. We move on.
Yeah, exactly. But
Disney, or it wasn't Disney.
It was Alan Horn. Alan Horn.
No, there was a conservative personality online that called that.
Oh, that he was looking back through his tweets.
And that person brought it up, and then Disney, being gun shy like Disney is, being a major corporation, and of course, lately they've been gun shy about a lot of things. They jumped, and I mean, I kind of don't blame him, but at the same time, I'm like, it's something that happened a long time ago. The man's not that way. He's not walking around, you know, waving a pedophile flag. He apologized. So
if you're remorseful about the mistakes you've made in any type of, you know, tweet or in your life itself, you should be allowed to move on. I mean, bringing up old stuff that, you know, you or I or anybody else has done, it's just like, it's very petty. Very petty to me. I mean, right. Just like, well, nobody's perfect.
No.
So, you know, just live and let live, let it go, and move on.
And that's why I'm going to give a Walt Disney Studios chairman, Alan Horn. He's the one that actually made the decision after meeting with Gunn several times. And he heard Gunn's, you know, public apology. And it wasn't just the public apology, but it's how he handled the situation right afterwards. He didn't start spouting off all over public, you know, over social media or anything like that. He handled himself like an adult and moved on.
And if anything, he prospered.
Yeah, it did. Yeah.
He prospered from the whole thing. You know, it just shows, man, if you have class in any kind of situation where they dog you, guess what? You're going to get rewarded. And he got rewarded by being in basically two universes right now. He's going to build. I think his Suicide Squad movie is going to be great.
Yeah, I do. Yeah,
I don't know why. I just have that feeling. I mean, you and I have talked about this. I think we talked about it last night. One of the big things, you're a big King Shark guy. Seeing him on the big screen with all the VFX and CGI they're going to do on him, I think it's going to be amazing.
Well, the reason is, I mean, the true reason why you believe that is you saw what he did with Guardians of the Galaxy, an ensemble cast, and how he made each one of those their own true character. And they all stood out. None of them were side characters. They all were their own individual ensemble. And that's what was lacking in the first Suicide Squad. And that's why I know you're happy because he's going to bring that little seed that he planted in Guardians and just drop it into the Suicide World.
When I saw the characters he might be bringing in a Suicide Squad, I guess it's not being called Suicide Squad 2, it's just going to be a complete reboot. I'm kind of excited. I mean, even though there is going to be Polka Dot Man, I mean, I'm not sure how he's going to
be. Don't knock the polka dots.
Or Peacemaker, which is, you know, a pacifist. But, you know, hey, I'm down. I want to see what he's going to do.
Oh, yeah.
So, and if anything, you know, when he's done, because we don't even know when Guardians of the Galaxy 3 is going
to
come out.
And they said he's supposed to start shooting it. He's given carte blanche to go ahead and shoot Suicide Squad. Then I think start shooting the end of this year. So you're probably talking 2021 on release. So you're probably talking, you know, probably 24, 23 for...
It's going to be a while.
It's going to be a while. You know,
so if you think about it, he's going to finish doing his commitment to Guardians 3, and then he's going to transition into DC.
Yep.
And if he does
Suicide Squad... it's the other way around. He's doing Suicide, then Guardians. He's, okay. Yeah, yeah. Well, so, yes, Suicide first, then Guardians.
He's going to finish Guardians of the Galaxy 3.
No, other way.
And once he's...
He's doing Suicide first, then Guardians. Yeah.
My bad, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I made a faux pas.
But yeah, because Suicide looking like it's supposed to start filming this year, like the end of this year.
I think it's going to be really soon, yeah.
And then they move after he wraps up there. He's basically... You're just jumping from one to the other.
I wouldn't be surprised after he, you know, when he finishes the next Guardians movie and he's done with his Marvel commitments, because it looks like he's just going to do a one and done in Marvel. I would not be surprised at all if he's one of the big hierarchies in DC. Like, they make him an executive producer, maybe in like the DC Cosmic, like Marvel had him. I just have that feeling. Like, you have a guy like James Gunn. Watch Slither, by the way, if you've never seen Slither. Great movie with Nathan Fillion. But I got a mind like that. You want to keep around. And James Gunn is definitely a mind like that. So hopefully DC will be the smart thing and keep that guy around.
Well, what do you think? They're going to pay him off? I said, hey, man, we're sorry again, man. We're going to give you a chair here.
I think so. I think they are. I think DC is going to put him up there. If Suicide Squad, the reboot is good, as I think it's going to be, they'll put him up there. I just have that feeling. So
yeah.
To segue out of...
Well, honestly, but to keep in mind, I want to go back, not Gunn himself, but I mean, you think that family alone. I mean, you've heard or you've seen Brightburn, right? The trailer for Brightburn yet?
Oh yeah,
that's his brother. That's James Gunn's brother on that one. So, I mean, just imagine what they're doing with that, the evil Superman movie, basically, is what everybody's kind of calling it. But you know. Just imagine if that how that one is going to come off. If it's as good as I feel and like everybody's talking about, if he can get him and his brother working together like that and start stuff together like the, who is it, the Wachowski brothers? I think I just screwed that up.
Yeah.
I mean, just if they could just start doing some movies together like that, that just would just be amazing.
I think when I saw the trailer, and I think when you saw it the first time, you texted me back. You were like, "Are they doing a Man of Steel too?"
Yeah,
because it had that very same type of vibe. I'm like,
well, they ripped it right
straight out. They ripped it off. Even the with the lettering and the subtitles.
Yep. So. I mean, when you're watching it, you feel familiar to this to the settings and to the feel of the trailer. You're like, oh, I've been here before. I've wait a second. No, I haven't been here before.
No, I have not.
Well, who is this? And it's just a. It is, I think, I wish, I kind of hope, DC, they haven't pushed back on it yet, I mean, because it could be very, very close to copyright issues, but I mean, this would be a nice Elseworld, so to speak, you know?
Yeah, I was just thinking that, almost like an injustice, like, the way they made Superman, like, the evil Superman, which is my favorite version of them.
Yeah.
Out of anything.
I mean, as long as they just do this one run with this one and don't, like, start, try to bring in, Ultraman and Owlman, or start doing that. Just have this like one little one off to the side and just have fun with it. Just see what happens. A horror Superman.
Just save those for later. The Crime Syndicate and all those. That's a movie in itself. And hopefully they do that down the line, because that's one of my favorite things I've told you about, is the Crime Syndicate and all the DC multiverses.
Oh yeah, so definitely. All right, so you were saying.
The segue out of that, I'm sorry. You did cut me off. Anyway, Mike. So, what do you think? It is, according to Oscar Isaacs, it is the end of the Skywalker saga. Episode 9 will pretty much wrap up all the Skywalkers from Episode 1 through 9, and we're done with them after 9. So, what do you think about that?
I will have to say this, and I will put a shout out to one of our fellow listeners and Star Wars fans, Steve-O. You can't call me after this comment, but I hope they do end it. They need to move on from the Skywalkers. I agree. If he's right, I would love that. I think they, again, you and I talked about it during the Star Wars, Expanded Universe episode. I think there's so much out there. This is a massive world, massive universe. Let's go see what else is out there. It doesn't have to be... Yeah, I think you and I have done. I've made this comment to you before, but about the dysfunctional Skywalkers.
Agreed.
I mean, it's time to move on. They were there. They planted the seed for this universe and opened it up and just looking at everything else that's out there with Rogue One, with the Rebels, with, I mean, just everything that they've, you know, the extended universe that they've done, I would love. And I know they're doing
The Mandalorian, they're doing this year.
Well, not only that, but in the film world, they're doing two different trilogies. You're going to have the Rian Johnson trilogy, and then
the Benioff and Weiss, with the
Lord of Ring, or the Game of Thrones folks. So you have two, and I'm hoping both of those are not Skywalker, continuations.
I don't think they are. And I'm going to piggyback on you. I agree. I think it's time for the Skywalker saga to end. It's been going on for a while now, and I would love a Darth Vader, you know, type of Rogue One movie, like a one-off.
Right.
But they won't do that because basically they're going to say, well, you've had Darth Vader. You had 1 through 3 and you had 4 through 6 and all that. I'm like, okay, but, you know, I want to see Vader in his prime. If anybody has ever seen that YouTube movie with Darth Vader.
Yeah, from us, it's a group called Star Wars Theory.
Yeah, Star Wars Theory. Yeah. It's if you're a Star Wars fan and a geek like us, give a chance and watch that thing, how good it is. I mean, not the best dialogue in the world, but as far overall, like the tone, it's very Star Wars.
Yeah, it was made by a true fan, and he not only is he a true fan, but he actually, you know, pocketed, you know, up front, made that money himself. He didn't pocket it, but he you know, paid up to make that movie. And that was, I want to say that it was in the, goodness, I think he, I want to say it was close to like 70 grand he dropped in.
I think it was about 100 grand that he did by himself.
Yeah, and it's out of his own pocket, just because
He also got some through Kickstarter as well.
He couldn't do that. That was part of the contract with the handshake that he had with Lucasfilms. He couldn't do Kickstart. He couldn't do any, what's the word I'm looking for? Any like GoFundMe type things. There could be no other finances being brought in except for what he had. So yeah, that was the one thing that, you know, they said, but he could go ahead and do whatever he wanted as long as, you know, he didn't state canon or state that it was canon and that he was making any money or getting any external money.
I dug it, and like I said, I hope they do more movies like that in the future, just one-offs.
Yeah, he's working on the sequel to the second part of that. He's in the middle of compiling the script and everything. So, you know, and that's Vader in his prime, and that's Mace Windu going to be in there. So, I mean, it's everything that we've really wanted to see, you know.
Yeah, because we've basically seen these guys at the end of the rope. I mean, not, they were still powerful, but, you know, they were older. I mean, Vader in the original trilogy was an older Jedi. You know, he was an older Sith Lord by then. So we never saw him in his prime hunting down the Jedi, hunt and killing them. You know, that's what I've always wanted.
Yeah.
The comics have flushed that out great.
Oh, yeah, yeah, they have. It makes
me want them to do a series like that.
But yeah, that Darth Vader series that came out last year was just, that was, I mean, it literally, like, I think you and I were talking about it, it picks up directly after the famous no, you know, it picks up that, you know, he's hurt, he's mad, he's angry, and he reaches out and touches the Emperor with the Force, and the Emperor returns the favor, and, you know, and it picks up from there that he has to get his own lightsaber now, and has to build, and has to, just so many different, and it's a great story. If you guys have not, it's through Marvel, you guys pick it up. I think, like I said, I think the run started 2018.
I think you're right. I think it was about 2018, like last year. I'm not sure how many issues in they are, but I have picked the first couple, and you're right. It's really, really good. That's what I'm telling you. It makes me want to listen to a Darth Vader. I'm sorry. Makes me want to listen. Duh, I don't have audiobooks. Makes me want to watch a Darth Vader series, a movie, because I think he's a character that, you know, we've gone from one point of him, his birth, and then basically to his ending. And now basically he's being mentioned in this newer trilogy. So,
yep.
I mean, the ending of the Skywalker saga, I think, is long overdue. I mean, I'm kind of done with it. You know, it's Skywalker. It was great for a time, but, you know, new generation, new time, new ideas. Let's move forward. Like exactly. You said, the universe is huge.
Yeah, there's so much out there. Let's find out other Force users. You know, yeah, we have Rey now, but there's others out there. You know, it's not supposed to be one per generation. You know, I remember in the prequels, there were, you know, thousands of them. So they're still out there. Just because they're not being taught, they're still being born with that ability.
Yeah, you could flush out the unknown regions too. see what's out there. I mean, there's probably more villains, more like pirates, more gangsters. I mean,
oh yeah,
there's just so many things you can do.
Definitely.
So you gotta be allowed to flesh that out. And now with the Skywalker trilogy basically ending, I mean, you could even bring Rey and the newer characters back, which I like all the new characters.
Yeah, I know. She Daisy said that she wasn't looking for wanting to come back. She's like, you know, I've done my time. You know, this was what 6 years of her life, you know, or so. And you know, and also there's the baggage of being in Star Wars now. You know, that's going to follow her around. So it's not just a, you know, hey, I got done shooting the movie, I'm done. No, we're following you.
You know, she's not. I'll tell you what. She's not going to turn down that Star Wars money that she's been, you know, raking in. So.
Yeah, no, but she's literally said that she's done for a while. You know, maybe a decade down the road or something. You know,
they could bring her back and she could be older. I mean, you know,
what they did here. You know, with the old guards. They, you know, guess what? In 10, 15 years, the young kids that are watching this now, they're going to be our age, and
yeah, they're going to see their
guards, you know, getting changed up.
You know, and that's the whole thing of evolution, too. You know, you get up, you get younger, middle age, get older, and you move on. And then, you know, the Skywalker saga, you know, like they say, has to end. Like all the Jedi has to end, like Skywalker, yep. Luke said in The Last Jedi. So it
must end.
Yes, sir. One last thing
before we
go. And this is one of the favorites, I think, of my captain.
Oh, is if it's the one I think series. You
need to talk. Yes, it is. I left it for last, you know, to be poignant, is the What If series coming to Marvel.
Yes, I cannot wait. Disney Plus is going to do an animated What If series. And I was doing some more reading on it. I don't know if you got a chance to read much on it. But Kevin Feige is bringing it in. They're bringing in the voice cast of the MCU.
Oh, God. That's going
to
be good.
So it's not only the voice cast, but they're going to use... They're not going into the comic book world of What If. They're going to stick to the MCU of what if Loki found the hammer when Thor was depowered, you know, in the first Thor movie. What if, you know, what if Captain in the first Avengers movie, what if he didn't get frozen? They're taking those what ifs that we grew up with, which were to me were some of the most fun Marvel books to pick up because you never knew what was going to happen. You know, you just, you know, what if was what the one they had? I think it was a Hulk and Wolverine. What if they were combined? Just so many great stories, but they're taking the MCU universe and doing what ifs based off of that. Not the comic, but just the MCU. That's why they're going to be using the voice actors.
I think it's going to be a great series.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be, you know, basically their opportunity to go crazy.
Yeah.
And do pretty much whatever they want. Yeah. I mean, it's just like, you know, let's just do this. You know, what if Tony Stark had the Infinity Gauntlet? I mean,
exactly.
You can go crazy. And I wasn't really high on it when you told me about it. I was like, yeah, but I read those before. But after you talking to you for a while, I'm like, you know what? This could be fun. And, you know, the MCU is basically, like you said, 22 films in. They've done all they need to do probably on the big screen. Go crazy now on your streaming service.
Well,
just
I mean,
go for it.
Yeah, I mean, they'll continue on, but I just think it'll be great to see what they can do. None of it will be canon, but like I said, it will take place in that world. So it's something I think this generation is going to love because we loved it growing up because they were the fun ones. You know, you go in there, you're like, yeah, okay, it's been a slow week on comics. Oh, look, What If came out. What's going on? And they were always so fun and, you know, exciting to see what they were going to do.
They can literally just take the comic runs too and just put them on the streaming servers. Literally do that if you wanted to. I mean, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they might borrow elements, but
yeah, they like just like they have you. But no, they were saying it's just going to be the Marvel universe. The cinematic universe is what they're going is their source material. So just everything that happened, you know, through that, you know. Oh, you know, who knows? We might actually see Beta Ray Bill. You know?
Which, I'd rather see Beta Ray Bill in the movies, but that's me.
Me too, yeah. No, I definitely would rather see that. But, you know, there's those chances of those moments that we didn't get to see in, you know, in the actual MCU that maybe we can see here.
Oh, the streaming service is going to be great for them because they're going to be allowed to do just literally anything. I mean, 10, 13 episodes you can binge watch. You could pretty much throw anything in there. I mean, you're not going to have like the main Marvel characters, Well, no, I don't think you're going to have Cap. I don't think you're going to have Iron Man.
Oh no, they are. Thor. No, they're for in the what ifs. Yeah, they're going to have those guys. They're Yeah, they're just coming in for voice. All they're going to be doing is sitting down in a room.
Oh, I didn't know that. I thought they were just doing like the secondary guys. I didn't know they were doing the main guys.
Nope, they're talking to everybody. You know, they're talking like if Cap didn't get frozen, what would have happened? So yeah, no, they're bringing those guys in. So
I wonder if they would do if Cap went on Hydra.
Probably. I mean, it's like you said earlier, they have the source material in the library from the comic books, what ifs. So I'm sure they're just going to reach right in there and pull, just like with Star Wars, you know, and the Legends, you know, they don't recognize it anymore. But guess what? That's a goodie box right there of just great ideas. So I could see them doing that with this.
There's so many good things we can do with that What If series. I mean, like I said, you can get new directors on there just going crazy in the animation. I mean, it's going to be different. And I wasn't looking forward to it, to be honest, but, you know, it's coming and I can't wait. I mean, after talking to you, like I said, I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with on that streaming service with all that. So anyway, that's it from the Admissions Ward.
The Admissions Ward. Perfect.
Admissions Ward. Yeah. You like the Admissions Ward?
We're going to start doing this, folks, every week. You know, we have been hitting our top tens and our little lists. We'll still get back to those every once in a while. But we want to do, like, just start reaching out to just the world of news out there. So you guys can, you know, for some of you guys that are so busy and you know, you're listening to this on your drive in or, you know, you're into work or at home or, you know, running around doing whatever, just popping us into your ear hole. You know, we're here so that way you guys can catch up on some of the news as well. So we're going to start doing those as well as some of our segments. So we'll definitely be doing that more. And like I said, guys, just keep you know us in mind. We're on Apple iTunes now, Stitcher, TuneIn. I keep wanting to say Spotify, but we're not there yet.
Not yet.
But we've also got the website, so the website's getting updated all the time. So whenever you know new episodes come out. We are, you know, getting some things put in the works. Hopefully, some shirt runs here shortly.
Soon.
Very soon. Yeah, we're throwing some ideas around and just different things. And hopefully, crossing our fingers with some of the cons coming up. We're going to be able to get out and run around and check out some of these things. So if anybody's out there going to these, you know, if you guys want to meet up, you know, just let us know. I know for sure we're going to the MegaCon in May here in Orlando.
Cannot wait for that. That's going to be a big one, too. If you actually seen the list who's coming to this MegaCon in Orlando,
oh my God.
It's almost like a San Diego Comic-Con, to be honest.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And pretty much everybody's coming.
And for those of you out there, and I'm sure you guys already probably know, but Stephen ML will be there. So he will be here for his last Comic-Con, you know, here in Orlando for, you know, being on Arrow.
We're going to try to hit him up and just, like, you know, go crazy.
Yeah, we are going to try to reach out to some of the cons so we can get in there and start, maybe trying to grab interviews with some people here. So, so it's not just hearing us talk. But we will, we are still working and growing. So, and we thank you guys, everybody, for listening and downloading. And like I said, best thing to do, man, please subscribe. I know everybody's downloading.
Please subscribe.
Yeah. I know everybody's downloading the episodes, which I love. Thank you. Just click on that subscribe button so you guys don't have to worry about downloading. It'll just automatically pop on whatever device or app you guys are using. So you just, bam, we're there every Wednesday morning for you. But so we're going to wrap it up here. Coming up soon, guys, we will be dropping an episode for Shazam. Should be our next
Saturday.
Yep.
Yes,
next
sir.
Saturday, Kane and I have gotten some early tickets, so we're going to go out there, take a look at it. We're going to do a spoiler-free episode. We'll probably drop it earlier than normal, just because it'll probably be a shorter episode. You know, we're probably thinking a 30-minute little episode, just a kind of like a just quick little review, our reaction, kind of reactionary. And then on March 30th this year, it is the anniversary, or birthday, I guess we could say. We're going to be doing
a
Batman 80th anniversary for you guys.
Batman Day.
And it will be a dark, dark time in the captain's household because we will be talking about nothing.
It's going to be a Batman light shining through because the darkness is going to illuminate.
Hopefully one day we'll have a Superman day. But right now we're going to recognize Batman for his 80 years of entertaining us. So we definitely will have an episode dedicated to the Dark Knight.
Yes, sir. We're going to go through all his runs, movies, every single thing in pop culture, how the Dark Knight has affected us in every single way. Even Mike, as a Superman fan that he is.
Yes, I still.
So the Dark Knight has affected him in some ways.
It has.
So, you know, his influence on pop culture overall, And we're just going to go from there. There's a lot of new things we're going to start doing in the next couple weeks, so just stay tuned. Like Mike said, subscribe. We have a Twitter and Instagram page, a Facebook page. You can contact us through there. Just a lot of things are coming up for us. Help us to grow. Get the word out there. The Heroes Asylum is here. It's here to stay.
Yep, and you guys out there, you guys are doing the word. I definitely appreciate it. I do. I'm hearing through the grapevine. Word's getting out. So thank you very much.
And I'd like to send a special message to somebody real quick, Mike, before we sign off.
All right.
To my friend Edna, we will be doing an X-Men. We will be doing an X-Men all podcast soon. We don't know when, but it will be soon. I have collaborated with the captain. He has given me the okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. When I heard that, I was like, yeah, we definitely want to do one for you.
He wants to do one, and once the suggestion was given, it's going to be basically an entire podcast on the X-Men, the legacy of the X-Men, comics, movies, animated series, everything. It's coming soon. No definitive date yet, but it is coming. I just want to let Edna know that, and thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, Edna. All right, folks, well, we're going to go ahead and tune out, tune in, tune out, tune out, whatever. We will be here next week, same bat time, same bat channel. Had to throw that one in there for you, Kane. All right, so everybody, stay sweaty forever.
Get to the asylum.